Libra.com.
Opinions expressed by talk show hosts or callers on KWRO AM 630 do not necessarily represent or express the opinions of the staff and management of KWRO AM 630 or Bicoastal Media LLC, its sponsors and subsidiaries. And now, ladies and gentlemen, broadcasting live from the palatial Bicoastal Media Studios high atop the Hall Building in beautiful downtown Coos Bay, it's the Jim Bice Show. Here he is, Jim Bice, the guy everyone hates to love.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Jim Bice Show. Are we actually going out on the air this week? We didn't last week.
No, we went out over the air.
Oh.
The first like 3.5 minutes was missed. Oh, other than that.
We went out over the air. Probably in Bulgaria, but yeah. Not here.
Well, I'm waiting for my hearing to recover after that. Yelling into the microphone.
Hey,
I got to warn you when you do that.
I do not yell into the microphone.
Let me rephrase that. When you greeted forcefully into the microphone.
Okay. Anyway, enough of the interior crap. Welcome to the Jim Bice Show. I do appreciate everybody listening. I want to remind everybody that not only can you listen to me here on the air, but you can stream me live. Two ways. You can go to www.kwro.com, or you can go to my website, www.coosnews.com. Click on the live streaming button. You can get me right over your computer. I'm going to talk about a number of things today, and if you'd like to join the conversation, I would love to hear your comments or questions, or you can even call me up and tell me how wrong I am if you want. You can call me at 541-267-2124. If you're outside the immediate calling area, you can call toll-free at 800-507-5569. You know, I talked to quite a number of people this past week over some of the things I've talked about on the show. I have people contact me all the time. And this is, contrary to popular belief, this is pretty much a nonpartisan show. I have extreme dislike for all political parties. They don't represent the people. And I'm one of the people. This is my country, the same as it's your country. It is not the country of the political elitist. I don't care which side of the aisle they're on. It does not belong to them. It belongs to us, and they work for us. And we need to remind them periodically just who they do work for. In my view, politicians are what they are. They've always been this way. They've been self-centered, self-serving. And service to the people has been almost incidental to most of them throughout our history. And this started way back when. This isn't anything new. The thing that is new and the true enemy of the American people is the media. The media was intended, constitutionally and by our founding fathers, to be the watchdog on government and to report to the people what government was doing. And they have forsaken their job. The media itself has become polarized and political, and they don't do what they're supposed to do, and that's keep you advised as to what's going on in government. That's where I come in. You know, people say, well, you know, you spread a lot of hate and discontent. Well, maybe I do, but you know what? The easiest way to spread hate and discontent in this country is to tell the truth. Because the powers that be, the elitists, both in politics and in the media, don't want you to know the truth. So anything that I talk about here on this show, I can back up with fact. In fact, one of the things we're going to talk about today, and I'm going to kind of work my way into it in a roundabout way, is the price of gasoline. And as we get to that portion, I'm going to be quoting numbers, and I'm going to tell you right up front, I derived these numbers from the American Petroleum Institute, from the U.S. Department of Commerce and from the U.S. Department of the Interior. That's where I got my sourcing. So if you doubt any of the things that I say today, those are the sources of the information. Now, I do have a guest in the studio with me today. I have Dan Verage on. Dan and I are old friends, and Dan, he's got a pedigree as long as your arm. you want to say something?
It's just wonderful to be here in the palatial, what'd you call it?
The palatial bicoastal media studio.
Oh, yeah. Now, yes. I hadn't been here in a while.
No, you haven't.
I kind of forgotten it. Really, it's more like a, I don't know, 70s disco men's room in here.
Well, you know.
But it is comfortable.
Daryl's our interior decorator. Yeah. So.
You don't like the Studio 54? Studio 54 motif, huh?
No.
Okay.
Yes, I'm happy to be here because I actually, over what now, close to 30 years, have worked on principally oil spills and cleaning them up.
Uh-huh.
But the other thing I've been involved in is doing the environmental surveys in offshore areas prior to oil leases being let.
Right.
And so the permit process is something I'm pretty familiar with.
Right. Okay. And that's where a large overhead cost to oil companies comes in. And of course, like any business.
And it's
business,
a lot of where the flim flam is going right. on right now, too.
But you know, like any business, any costs incurred by a business in the course of doing business is ultimately paid by the consumer of whatever product or service that business offers. It's just like taxes. Businesses do not pay taxes. Consumers pay taxes. And I wish people would understand that. And I wish more that this bunch of crooks that we have in political office would understand that. When you tax business, you're actually punishing the people. And you do not gain from taxing businesses. In fact, throughout history, we got 200 years of experience to draw on. And during that time, if you do the research, you find out that every time you raise taxes, revenues to government go down. Yet every time you decrease taxes on business, and this was proven by John Kennedy, it was proven by Ronald Reagan, and it was proven by George W. Bush. When you reduce tax on business, revenues to the government go up. And yet we've got this guy in the White House right now talking about how we've got to pay for Bush's tax cuts. I don't understand what he's talking about. Does he think that all the money belongs to him? It's not government money. It's our money. It belongs to you. You earned it. And if they want to pay for tax cuts, then reduce the taxes more and the government gets more money. It's been proven over and over and over. This is not a political issue. It's an economic issue, and it's a fact. We're going to take a short break here, hear from some of our fine sponsors. If you'd like to join the conversation, again, give me a call, 541-267-2124. I'll be right back.
Do your vehicle's brakes have you reaching for your ears? How about that? Sound familiar? But where do you get? Or those squealing brakes? Instead of, get on in to Tom and Giggs Auto Body, Muffler, and Brakes in Empire. Tom and Giggs has over 35 years of service knowledge and expertise. They're your complete brake and exhaust specialists. Now featuring spray-on bedliners by Permatech, guaranteed not to fade. Tom and Giggs Auto Body, Muffler, and Brakes on Schoenemann across from 7-Eleven in Empire.
Stop in today to the all-new one-stop gun shop, Hole-in-the-Wall Gun Shop in Coos Bay. Your area leader in quality firearms, Hole in the Wall Gun Shop proudly features the top brands of new and used handguns, hunting rifles, black rifles, antique and collectible guns, ammo, mace, and more. Gun cleaning and repair, expert advice, and handgun safety classes for concealed carry permits are offered too. So stop into Hole in the Wall Gun Shop across from Cumyon's on Highway 101 South in Coos Bay. We buy, sell, or trade.
We're back. It's the Jim Bice Show. There he is. Jim Bice.
Welcome back to the Jim Bice Show. You know, in a speech that sounded a lot more like a kickoff to his reelection campaign than a plan to cut deficit spending, President Obama just couldn't resist blaming Bush and Republicans for all the economic and fiscal woes that still afflict this presidency. Now, this is a tactic that worked for him in the 2008 campaign, but it's growing a little thin right now. And we're headed into his third tiresome, sucky year in the Oval Office, and I think most of us are seeing through his line of crap. He said, "We increased spending dramatically for 2 years and an expensive prescription program, but we didn't pay for any of this new spending. Instead, we made the problem worse with trillions of dollars in unpaid for tax cuts. That's what Obama said. In the last decade, if we'd simply found a way to pay for the tax cuts and the prescription drug benefit, our deficit would currently be at low historical levels in the coming years. So it's still the blame Bush crap, and I just kind of covered that.
And
you know,
it's a lie.
Huh?
It's a lie.
Well, of course it
is. I mean, that would be true if he hadn't, you know, put the stimulus money out there.
Well, yeah, you know.
I mean, and up the budget by another trillion.
Yeah, we spent $1 trillion on stimulus that didn't.
Yeah.
But you know, whenever Obama talks about paying for tax cuts, what he really means is raising taxes on somebody else. It never occurs to him that the tax cuts can pay for themselves through increased economic growth and higher employment. We've seen that traditionally every time it's been tried. That's exactly what President Bush's 2003 accelerated tax cuts did in the remaining years of his presidency. That was a 5-year period, and people tend to forget this. And as I mentioned before, the enemy of the people is the media. The media did not let people know this. During 5 years of Bush's presidency, after he implemented the tax cuts, the unemployment rate fell well below 6%. Now, statistically, 5% or less is considered full employment because you're always going to have a few that are unemployed for whatever reason. But Bush was below 6% for over 5 years of his presidency. Revenues to the government rose by hundreds of billions of dollars. And they cut the budget deficit in half. You don't hear Obama saying this, but it actually happened. It's a matter of public record.
And that was with a war on two fronts.
Exactly.
Still coming out of the dot-com bust of the Clinton era.
Yeah, we had a spike in spending because of the war. But then because of the tax cuts, they paid that down. They paid down over half of it. But you don't hear that from the media, and you sure don't hear it from Obama. When Bush was running for office in 2000, the economy was in the midst of the high-tech dot-com economic boom, the bubble. And then it burst in 2001, and the economy went into recession. In his first year in office, Bush pushed through an across-the-board income tax cut that would be phased in over several years. As the recession worsened, unemployment, which was at that point at 4.7%, rose to 5.8% in 2002 and up to 6% in 2003. Do you remember, Dan, how the media savaged Bush because we had a 6% unemployment rate?
Oh, I know.
Now, today, as of last Friday when we got the new numbers.
Of course,
numbers
you know what happened in that time span that you just discussed.
Yeah.
9/11.
9/11 happened.
Which absolutely crushed the economy.
Remember that? It did.
Yeah.
Well, it did. Between the burst of the dot-com bubble and then followed closely by the 9/11 terrorist attacks, our economy was in a tank.
Yep.
And yet, unemployment only got to 6%.
Yep.
And the media went nuts. But as of Friday, our unemployment rate's at 9%. Where's the media outcry against Obama? Has anybody heard it? Are you listening close?
And by the way, that 9% is being jiggered in a way that never was during the Bush administration.
Well, the actual number is, right. What is it, 24.3%.
Yeah, I mean, it's high.
Yeah, that's the actual unemployed in the country. During that same period, tax receipts, which had hit a high of $2 trillion in 2000, fell to $1.99 trillion in 2001, down to $1.85 trillion in 2002, and then down to $1.78 trillion in 2003. So federal tax receipts declined during that three-year period. So Bush and the Congress accelerated those tax cuts in 2003, and the economy responded. They didn't spend money. They cut taxes. Contrary to Obama's anti-tax cut, zero-sum ideology, federal tax revenues did not fall as a result of Bush's across-the-board tax rate cuts, which, by the way, affected every single income bracket. It was not tax cuts for the rich, as parroted by the media and lying little twits like little Peter DeFazio. It was across-the-board cuts for everybody. In fact, Bush's tax cuts even included a lower rate bracket, which had never before existed, a 10% rate for low-income workers. And when that happened, here's what happened to the revenues to the government. In 2004, it raised from, remember, it was $1.78 trillion in 2003. It jumped to $1.88 trillion in 2004, $2.15 trillion in 2005, $2.4 trillion in 2006, and $2.6 trillion in 2007. In other words, tax revenues over that four-year period increased by $800 billion. Can you believe that? It pushed the Dow Jones Industrial Average to a record 14,164 points. That was on October 9th of 2007. While that was going on, unemployment fell sharply as the economy expanded. It dropped to 5.55 in 2004, 5.1 in 2005, 4.6 in 2006 and 2007. What happened in 2008 to change things? Ah, yes. The Democrats took control of the House and Senate. And then we had a problem. By this additional revenues to the government and the increased employment with more people paying taxes, Bush managed to reduce the budget deficits. So that's something that this president can't conceive of. He wants to spend more and more and more. Now, the deficits rose substantially during the first half of Bush's presidency, basically, as Dan pointed out, due to the 9/11 terrorist attacks and a deepening recession. But as federal taxes increased, the revenues increased, the yearly deficits began to shrink. They fell to a modest $161 billion in 2007. This year, we're running a $1.6 trillion deficit. And under Bush in 2007, it was $161 billion. So what Obama has done, he has increased the annual deficit by 10 times. 10 times. And has it stimulated the economy? Has it reduced unemployment? I'm asking you folks. Call me and let me know. Did it reduce unemployment? Did it stimulate the economy? Are you better off now than you were in 2007 under President Bush? In between 2003 and 2008, the U.S. general total government deficit fluctuated between 2 and 5% of the gross domestic product. Under Obama, it's now 11%. Significant amount. And remember, the dollar numbers aren't nearly as important as a percentage to gross domestic product, as an analogy. You as head of your household, let's say that everybody listening is head of household. Now, those of us that are married, if you're a male, we know that isn't true, but we're going to make the assumption anyway. Does it matter if you're making $20,000 a year and you spend $18,000 a year, you've just spent a significant portion of your annual revenues. But if you're making $100,000 a year and spend that same $18,000, you're in a whole lot better financial shape, are you not? And that's just like the government. If the government is spending between 2 and 5% of their total income, of the total income of the country, that's not that big of a deal. That's basically where we need to be for government to function properly. But if we're spending 11%, then what we have done, the money that the government spends is money that they have, in essence, taken away from ordinary folks. Now, an argument could be made, well, yeah, but that gives back benefits to ordinary folks. It does, in a way. But you've got to remember that anything government does comes with a price tag of administration and basically, you know, let's say it's fraud, because government is fraud-ridden. It's a fact of life, and it's nothing new. It's always been with us. I don't think it's ever going to be corrected. It's the nature of the beast. But you and I pay for that fraud. You know, this is a comparison that you don't see from the media, and you're sure never going to hear it from Obama. Now, there's a lot of other factors measuring Bush's fiscal record, including levels of spending that could have and should have been cut down to size. There's no doubt about it. The prescription drug program, which is often vilified and maligned by the media, actually turned out to be a lot less expensive than the earlier forecast. And there's a reason for that. Now, you'll never hear the reason from the media or from Obama, but the reason primarily is because it is run through a private sector system of drug insurance firms. It isn't run by the government. It's run by private sector. It came in under projected cost. Can anybody call me up and tell me any government program that ever, ever, ever came in under projected cost? Is it, Dan, you're a smart guy.
No, I was thinking just another great demonstration of what you're talking about is the fraud in the medical health insurance industry.
Oh, yeah.
It's less than 5% in the private sector.
Right.
It's almost 25% in Medicare and Medicaid.
Exactly. And see, and this is the problem with having government involved. The problem is, you know, regardless of what the do-gooders want to tell you, there is evil in the world. It does exist. And there are certain people that will exploit anything they can. They don't care who they hurt, and they don't care that it's your money that they're screwing with. They're going to find a way to exploit it.
No, I thought you were talking about progressives. You're talking about frauds. I'm sorry. Well, I guess it's one and the same.
Well, you know, it's the progressives, the liberals, the knuckle-draggers that are the do-gooders that, you know, there's no such thing as bad people. They're just misunderstood.
That's so wrong.
But the thing is, these people do exist, and government is the easiest mark to defraud that there is because there's little or no oversight. The problem with government oversight, nobody wants to be responsible for anything.
Right, and the real problem is, if they make a mistake, if they let something slip by, they don't get fired.
No. No, if they screw up, they get moved to a different department. Sometimes they even get a promotion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I know. It's a pretty remarkable setup.
It is.
So maybe we can talk more about the progressives after our break.
We will.
Because that ties right into the whole oil energy scheme.
We're leading up to that, but I have to do the groundwork.
Yep, because so that they along with understand. The media, are peddling a lie.
We're being lied to, folks. We're being deceived. And it is intentional. This isn't accidental. It is intentional. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll continue. If you'd like to join the conversation, give me a call, 541-267-2124. I'll be right back.
Have you been looking for a good mechanic? At Tom's Bulldog Automotive, located on Highway 101 in the Bunker Hill area of Coos Bay, they offer dealer quality service and repairs at lower prices. They're locally owned and operated, so you get the personal attention you need. First, they listen to you, then they listen to your vehicle. Their ASE certified technicians perform only the services you ask for. No surprises. If you're looking for trustworthy, top-notch vehicle care, Tom's Bulldog Automotive is the place. They take a bite out of the high cost of vehicle repairs. Call them today at 541-269-0399.
Stop by Jim Vick Auto Sales in their new location on the corner of Virginia and Broadway in North Bend. You'll find just the right vehicle at just the right price. They've got a broad selection of quality inspected cars, trucks, vans, and SUVs in every price range. Jim Vick has been in the car business for over 40 years in this area and has served three generations of Bay Area residents. Give Jim a call at 541-808-2400. That's Jim Vick Auto Sales for your next vehicle.
If I can't save you money, I don't deserve your business.
If you've never experienced gelling with Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles,
you've never walked all the way to work on top of cushy throw pillows,
or worked a jackhammer while standing in a field of beautiful daisies.
That's because gelling does more than change the way you feel. It changes your state of mind.
So I can teach my class while enjoying the soft white sand under my feet.
Experience all-day outrageous comfort for yourself with Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles. Are you gelling?
I'm glad I have feet.
You've got plans, but sometimes pain shows up. So make sure you have the right relief. Rite Aid is here to help with solutions like Advil, Advil PM, and Thermacare. You can even boost your wellness and save with Rite Aid's free Wellness Plus program. Join today, and when you spend $25 on Advil, Advil PM, and Thermacare, and other select pain products between April 27th and May 31st, get $10 in Plus Up rewards to use on your next purchase. Live life. Make plans. Shop Rite Aid. Use products as directed. Certain limitations apply. See Weekly Wellness Plus program. Join today, and when you spend $25 on Advil, Advil PM, and Thermacare, and other select pain products between April 27th and May 31st, get $10 in Plus Up rewards to use on your next purchase. Live life. Make plans. Shop Rite Aid. Use products as directed. Certain limitations apply. See Weekly Circular for details.
This is an alert. If your business or church is building this year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. A General Steel building can save you as much as half the cost and time of similar conventional construction. And we're offering rebates of up to $20,000 to help you build today. Call General Steel for free information that could save you thousands. Call 898-STEEL. 898-STEEL. That's 800-987-8335.
Summertime itches from bug bites, sunburn, and poison ivy need fast relief. Try Gold Bond Maximum Relief Cream with two maximum strength medicines that cool and soothe pain and itch on contact. And for those everyday itches from rashes, dry skin, allergies, even recurring conditions, there's new Gold Bond Intensive Healing Cream with two medicines and seven moisturizers that work a full 24 hours. Remember, for a quick itch fix, get Maximum Relief Cream. And for long-lasting healing, pick up new Intensive Healing Cream, only from Gold Bond. Use as directed.
A message from a real informant.
I work in the IT department of my company. Early into the job, I learned that we were using unauthorized business software. I told my manager about it, but he chose to ignore it. It really bugged me that we were pirating software. I knew it was wrong and illegal, so I reported it confidentially to the Business Software Alliance at nopiracy.org.
Report business software piracy confidentially today at nopiracy.org. Call 1-888-NO-PIRACY or search BSA. You could even get a cash reward.
Look at you with the top down. I thought your allergies would never let you drive a convertible.
Me neither. Every spring, my sinus congestion and pressure were so bad. But that was before Allegra.
Allegra D provides fast, non-drowsy relief of your toughest symptoms, like sneezing, running nose, and itchy, watery eyes. It even reduces inflammation and swelling that can cause congestion and pressure.
So now the top's down and your symptoms are gone.
After Allegra, I have it all.
Use as directed. Starts working at hour one. Learn more at Allegra.com.
We're back. It's the Jim Bice Show. There he is, Jim Bice.
Welcome back to the Jim Bice Show. During the break, we had a call from a listener wondering if I was going to do anything regarding the upcoming election, and I'm not. Here's why. Number one, it's not my job to tell anybody who to vote for. I'm not going to do it. There's no point in analyzing the candidates because a lot of these candidates are running unopposed for many of these positions. The ones where there is competition for the seat, the only thing I'm going to say, I said it last week, I'll say it again, I'm going to vote accordingly myself. If the candidate is in any way, shape, or form connected to the education community, that means if they're a teacher, they have a spouse or a relation that's teacher, if they're a member of OEA, if they're in any way, shape, or form connected to the education system, I absolutely, positively will not vote for them because they're part of the problem, not the solution. That's my opinion. That's all I'm going to say on it. You can vote accordingly, but, you know, it's the teachers' unions and the education system that got us into a situation where we run kids through 12 years of school. They can't read, write, add, subtract, multiply, or divide, and in a lot of cases can't even speak the language. And I'll be damned if I'm going to support any more of that. So I will not vote for anybody that's in any way, shape, or form attached to the education system. Enough said. I want to get back to this. And the reason I'm doing this little history lesson, number one, you probably haven't heard the facts because the media, especially our daily garbage can liner, is not going to tell you the truth. They've fallen down on the job. They're not doing their job. And I'm getting real doggone tired of a president and his, I'm trying to think of a word I can use on the air.
How about entourage?
His entourage. Yes, that'll work. Yes. And his entourage have been blatantly lying to you. And it's the media's job to call him on lies. And they haven't done it. Now, you know, a politician lying to the people is nothing new. We've got a bunch of them that do it all the time. My God, Peter DeFazio's made a career of it. But you know, now we've got a president who has blatantly lied, and nobody has said boo about it. And I'm getting tired of it. In the last year of his presidency, as the economy tipped into a deep recession, this is under Bush, tax revenues fell to $2.5 trillion. Now, remember, that $2.5 trillion was still higher than it had ever been before. And the jobless rate rose to a whopping 5.8%. And the media savaged George W. Bush. Now, this is due largely to a Democrat-controlled Congress. They spent more than they took in, which is typical of the Democrats. Now, I don't want you to think that this is bash Democrats, because it isn't, because the gutless Republicans didn't do anything to counter it. And then we had the collapse of the housing market. That was caused, regardless of the lies and crap you've been told by the media and President Obama and Chuckie Schumer and all of the other entourage, I like that term, it was due to two people primarily, Barney Frank and Chris Dodd, both of whom sat respectively on the House and Senate Finance Committees. They were warned by government regulators.
And Bush.
And Bush.
12 times.
12 times, up to 2 years in advance. Bush even tried to get legislation carried to address the issue, and they squashed it in their committees. They're the ones that caused the economic bubble on the housing market to collapse. Those two people are primarily to blame. And remember, you're not going to hear it elsewhere, but if you do the research, the facts are out there.
And by the way, the TARP money, Remember that?
Right. Oh, yes.
The money given to the banks?
Right.
By the way, that was not a grant.
It was not a grant.
It was a loan.
It was a loan under Bush. It turned into a grant under Obama.
It turned into a slush fund for Obama.
Yes.
Really? Yep.
Yep. And still, Bush began his presidency by cutting tax rates. It got our economy going through some real tough times that were not of his making. And even Obama renewed those tax cuts for another 2 years. A little more than 2 years later, Obama's annual budget skirting $4 trillion. The deficit's at $1.6 trillion, 10 times what it was at the highest point under Bush. The national debt right now is $14.3 trillion and climbing daily. And the unemployment rate's still at 9%. Under Bush, the highest it ever got was 6.2. And these people want us to believe that Obama is doing something right, that the Democrats that were in control. Remember, they had total control of the House, the Senate, and the presidency for 2 years. And again, not to be bashing the president or Democrats, but who was in charge and where are we at today? Now that leads me up to the subject I really want to cover today. I needed to do this background to set this up, so I hope everybody bore with me on this. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, Dan and I are going to go nuts.
Tie it in now this way. You're not going to pull out of this sort of malaise that we're in without cheap energy.
No, you're not.
You're not.
You're
and
not.
That's one of the things they're attacking, and we're going to talk about it.
And that's what we're going to talk about. If you'd like to join the conversation, give me a call, 541-267-2124. I'll be right back.
Need tires for your car, truck, RV, travel trailer, or ATV? Far West Tire Factory, located on Highway 101 just north of the Red Lion Motel, has everything you need. They sell all the name brands you're familiar with. Michelin, BF Goodrich, Cooper, Goodyear, Firestone, Uniroyal, Goodrich, ProComp, and Dunlap, and the best bargain on the market today, Kelly Springfield Tires. They're a really good deal on a great tire. Far West Tire Factory also specializes in custom wheels, shocks, brakes, alignments, lube and oil filters, coolant and transmission flushes, and tune-ups. Far West Tire Factory is one of almost 200 locally owned and operated tire factory stores in the 10 western states, so they'll serve all of your automotive needs wherever you travel.
Don't you love really fresh seafood? Fish, clams, oysters, scallops, and chowder? Now it's available right in the heart of downtown Coos Bay. The Pyramid, located upstairs in the old City Hall building, is an upscale seafood restaurant serving the freshest seafood dinner every evening from 5 to 9 p.m. Of course, at the Pyramid, you can also enjoy your favorite adult beverage along with your dinner and dance to a live band on Saturday night. On Mondays, treat yourself to tacos for just $1 each, and Wednesdays are our special day for seasoned citizens. The Pyramid, the new option for fine dining and dancing in downtown Coos Bay. Enjoy fine dining at the Pyramid tonight.
We're back. It's the Jim Bice Show. There he is, Jim Bice.
Yeah, I just happened to catch the tail of that commercial spot for the Pyramid. Yeah, during the break, folks, I really don't listen to what's going on much because we're comparing notes here in the studio. But
there's conflab going on in here.
Yes, yes. It's a vast knowing conspiracy. How's that?
Confab or flab? I didn't
flab.
Conflab. Well, in Daryl's case, slab. But since I mentioned a Pyramid, we are going over for tacos tonight, are we not?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. The Pyramid, on Monday night, they got tacos for $1 apiece.
It's part of their happy hour.
Yeah, and it's become a tradition for us to go over there. Are you going to join us, Dan?
Yeah, I think my wife's listening, but I don't really care. Yeah.
Come on, Lucy, we'll have tacos.
Yeah, come on down. We won't tell anybody who your husband really is. Anyway, getting back to this, you know, the Obama administration has complained and complained and complained, and this is part of the Democrat mantra, about how U.S. industries use the tax code to export jobs and hold profits overseas. They point to the low effective income tax rates created by these companies as proof. Now, while some industries may engage in that behavior, there's no doubt some of it.
GE.
Yeah, $4 billion profits and paid no taxes. They also happen to be a major contributor to Obama. It's just a coincidence, though, right?
Well, an email's on one of his big finance committees. I don't know what it is.
Yeah. But the bottom line is, with all the vilification that's going on, America's oil and natural gas industry is not one of the industries that are doing this stuff. Now, there's no doubt U.S. oil and gas companies are large. They're complex organizations. They got to be in order to succeed in the global markets. And unfortunately, in many cases, their competition is state-controlled energy companies. You see that, Mexico, Venezuela, all of the OPEC countries are state-controlled.
And Brazil.
And Brazil.
And that's going to be important to remember.
And you got to remember, their earnings are matched by their significant investments. The old adage, it takes money to make money. The earnings, however, are in line with those of other major U.S. manufacturing industries as measured against their sales. Now, the latest available data for 2010 earnings shows that the oil and natural gas industry earned, you ready for this? A whopping 5.7 cents for every dollar of sales. That means when you go to the gas station and you pump $4 a gallon gas into your tank, 4 times 5.7,
25 cents.
Roughly, yeah. The oil company made about a quarter off of you for $4 gas. Okay, 22.8.
Yeah. Now, here's something. Here's another thing most people don't know. A barrel of oil is not 55 gallons.
No.
It's 42 something.
42 gallons.
Yeah,
it's 42 gallons.
So think about that for a second. You remember when the price got, there was a point here not too long ago, it was up to 120 a barrel.
Right. It's down to 100 today.
Yeah, okay. But when it was at 120 a barrel, let's just round it off.
Mm-hmm.
That's 40 gallons in there.
42 gallons, yeah.
That's $3 a gallon before you even get it out of the drum.
Exactly.
And now they got
to. And then you've got to refine it.
Refine it and ship
transport it.
It
and distribute it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, just think about that, folks. You think that oil companies are pulling out $1 or $2 per gallon on you? That's an absolute
lie. Ain't happening. The federal tax on gasoline
is more than their profit margin.
Is considerably more than the profit margin of the oil companies. Now, this 5.7% basically is well below the earnings of most U.S. manufacturing. The average nationwide for manufacturing companies is 8.5% profit margin. The oil companies are making 5.7%.
But do you notice the way it's always reported by this media you so love?
Well,
it's always reported by their quarterly earnings, which is in the billions.
Well,
but that's because they're selling hundreds of billions of gallons of gasoline.
We're going to come to that.
Yeah.
I think most people are going to be absolutely amazed at this. And remember, folks, I got these numbers from the U.S. Department of Commerce and the U.S. Department of the Interior. And I'm sure that they're, remember, Obama has control of them, so I'm sure that they're not inflating anything to make it look good for the oil companies. But oil and gas profits are considerably less than most other manufacturing. Now, many would think that an industry as large as the U.S. oil and natural gas industry, which, by the way, support 9.2 million U.S. jobs, 9.2 million, and they contribute 7.5% to our gross national product. Now, who would expect them to have lower earnings percentage-wise in the average manufacturing industry, but that's what the facts are. U.S. oil and natural gas companies also pay considerably more in taxes than the average manufacturing company. According to data that I found at U.S. Department of Commerce, the industry's 2009 net income tax expenses, essentially their effective marginal tax rate, averaged 41% 41%. Now, if you compare that to manufacturing companies, their marginal tax rate ends up being about 26%. Now, the Energy Information Administration concludes that as an additional part of their tax obligation, the major energy-producing companies paid or incurred over $280 billion in income tax expense between 2006 and 2008. So in 2 years, the oil industry paid $280 billion in taxes. Now, they also pay the federal, this is paid to the federal government, significant rents, royalties, and lease payments for production access. This is your area of expertise, Dan.
You bet. They're not pumping it out of these offshore waters for nothing.
Oh, no.
For the government gets their cut.
Yeah, those royalties and lease payments have totaled more than $100 billion since the year 2000. So, and this is a 10-year period, 2000 to 2010. So $10 billion a year on average is paid just for leases and royalties to the federal government.
Right.
And remember, folks, all of these overhead costs, the tax costs, and the lease payments and royalty payments, that's tacked on to the price of gasoline. You're the one that's actually paying for it. So, in fact, U.S. oil and natural gas companies pay more than $86 million to the federal government in both income taxes and production fees every single day. They're almost catching up. They're shoving in $86 million a day, and the Congress is spending $184 million a day.
And by the way, this doesn't even count their state taxes?
No.
Or if you had a refinery here in Coos County, they got to pay property tax. On the land and the building. And here's what most of these progressive idiots that we have in this town don't know. They also have to pay property tax tax on everything in the building, right down
That's
to the
right.
desks and chairs.
That's right. Business property
and
tax.
And now Obama says that's a tax break.
Yeah. Well,
we're going to get
there's another cost that isn't shown here too, besides local. You've got the cost of defending yourself against suits by cave people and associated knuckle-draggers.
It's all part of the overhead.
All this ultimately costs the consumer.
Now, let me just get again. I got to get this in there. Did you hear about Shell Oil and what happened to it about a week ago?
What was that?
They let a permit out for Shell Oil up on the North Slope of Alaska.
Right. Oh, yes, I did hear about that.
I mean, this wasn't to start looking for oil. This was to start drilling.
It was a permit to drill,
That's right. A permit to drill. The permit was revoked by the Obama administration because in their application on this final permit, they forgot to account for the possible carbon emissions of an icebreaker that might have to come in to service the crew on the platform.
Right.
Can you believe that, people? They shut down Shell's drilling on the North Slope for that.
Yep.
Now, that is criminal.
It is.
It's criminal. This company spent well over $5 billion just before we even getting a bit
just
in the ground.
Just to get the permit.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah. This is the kind of crap that this administration's doing. And, of course, we hear from Obama, we've got to go with green energy. We've got to do the alternative energy thing. Here's what he's not telling you. These energy companies, oil and gas companies, it's not just oil and gas anymore. It's energy companies would be the appropriate term. They want to have their finger in every kind of energy. They want to do the research and development. They want a piece of the ultimate action. They're business. They're in business to make money. And what you don't hear from the lying mainstream media and this lying president we've got is that in the last 10 years, the oil and natural gas industry has invested over $1.7 trillion in U.S. capital projects to advance alternative energy. You didn't hear that, did you?
But that's also tacked onto your gasoline costs.
Well, of course it is. Well, no, actually it isn't, because that comes out of their earnings. So ultimately you're paying for it, yes. But it's not something that's tacked
and
on like
you
the
said,
taxes
most,
are.
The average guy on the street doesn't have a clue that they're doing that. But personally, I think it's just money down the toilet.
Well,
and if you don't think so, all I got to do is just say, go look at Spain's books.
I know. Well, I think there is a future for alternative energy, but it's not here yet. We need a lot more R&D. I do believe that eventually, you know, maybe in 50 or 70 or 80 years, we can be at a point where we're tapping energy that we don't even know exists today.
It's possible.
Well, look
hydrogen
at,
cells, maybe.
Look at the leaps in technology we've seen in the last 50 years. So it's possible. But we've got an administration right now that's trying to push us into a situation where we're going to use sources that aren't ready to be used yet.
Right.
They're not economically viable. Your mention of Spain, you know, Spain tried to go whole hog with the alternative energy nonsense.
Yeah, wave, wind, all of it. Solar.
Yeah, and it
bankrupted the country.
It bankrupted the country. And I find it interesting that, let's see, Norway, Sweden, and Denmark and France have pulled back from the wave energy stuff. They all had that in place, you know, this wonderful wave energy we're going to get on the Oregon coast. They pulled away from it because they could no longer afford to subsidize it,
right,
because it was not economically viable in the open market. What's going to happen here? We're at the top of the hour. We're going to get some news and weather and other information. Please stick with us. We'll be right back.